God, because God is love and he defines what love is. But in this passage, he has a really, really interesting way to say what love is. And we're going to talk about what that is. Now listen carefully. I'm going to read from God's Word and we'll find out what love is. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends." Now that's quite a description. So what he's saying here is if we could speak in every language, can you guys speak any other language other than English? See, that's one word. And I only know a few words, probably words I shouldn't know in Ukrainian or in Russian. But imagine if you knew every single language that the whole earth had. That's a lot of languages. But he says, even if you do that, and all the languages of the angels even, these are heavenly languages, he says, if you have not love, you're nothing. And then he goes on, he says, if you have all prophetic powers, you can predict the future and you have all those kind of powers. Or anybody have a mystery that you would like to solve? Something that you wonder about? Anybody have questions for God? Yeah? So if you could solve every mystery, and do you have kids at school that think that they know everything if you run into a kid like that? Yeah. But imagine if you really could know everything. Like you were like the book of knowledge. You were like the internet, Wikipedia. Maybe that's not all the right knowledge, but all of that. But if you knew everything in the whole universe, and he says, if you have all that knowledge and you have a big brain, you know that your head is just so big and contains that good of a computer and brain. He says, if you don't have love, you're nothing. And even if, he says, if you have faith to move mountains. Anybody move any mountains in West Virginia lately? One shovelful, one spoonful at a time, right? But if you had enough faith to say, mountain, I want you to move over here behind my house instead of in front of my house. He says, that's nothing to, as well if you don't have God's kind of love. And then he says, any of you have iPads? Yeah. You have your favorite games that you play? He says, even if we give away everything that we own, imagine if we went in your room and we emptied it out and gave it to everybody, gave it to the Goodwill. He says, but if you don't do it with love, it still means nothing. And then the last thing he says, if you would even give up your life, and you don't do it in love, it doesn't mean anything. So, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we're nothing. It says we're like a sounding of a bell or a gong. So imagine if... Now my nephew here plays the drums. And we don't have a drum set at home, but I imagine that his parents get to hear the drum practice all the time. And I know the O'Briens at their house have a drum set that goes sometimes when I hear David O'Brien saying, "Stop! Stop!" But he's saying if we have all these things and we do all these wonderful things for God and we don't have love, it says you're just like this annoying cowbell. It's just like, bzzz. You have alarms in the morning. Do you hate to hear your alarm? That means you have to get up. Some people have more annoying ones than others do. I have a nice little peaceful harp because I easily wake up, but not Miss Tanya. It's a rah, 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 rah. It's really, really annoying. So when we do things for God without love, that's what we're like, it says in the Bible. So we got to find out what love is, right? So what is love? What is real love? That's the question of the day. Is love a feeling? Probably not, because how many have had somebody to say, I love you, but then they turn around and they walk away from you? You might have somebody in your life or in your family that has walked away. They kind of have the, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. And that's based on a feeling. Love is not a feeling, as we're going to find out. And what they tell you on TV, what you hear at school, is a different view of what love. There's different views of love that seem right, but really at the end they're selfish. Okay, so that's not what real love is. Here's some things that are false views of love, what you'll hear at school and on the TV. Whatever makes you feel bad, leave it. Whatever makes you smile, keep it. Now that sounds like a cute phrase, doesn't it? Whatever makes you feel bad, leave it. Now sometimes good things I feel bad about because I'm in a bad mood when I wake up, right? So that's selfish in the end. That's just feeding what I want all the time. That's feeding what feels good to me. How about this next one? Nothing is wrong if it feels good. But Mom, it feels so good to do this. Mom says, no, I don't want you to do that. Dad says, no, I don't want you to do it. But it feels right. That's what they tell you on TV. That's what they tell you in the world. And that's what they're telling in a lot of churches today, too. That's not love. How about this one? Don't feel guilty for doing what's best for you. How about that one? It might be what's best for me, but it might not be what's best for Mom and Dad. It might hurt my brother or sister. It might hurt somebody at school. So these are all bad views of what love is. Nothing's really that bad if it feels good, right? That's another one. And how about this one? These are cute sayings that you see on the internet. Sometimes the wrong choices bring us to the right places. So I hear people say that a lot because they sin and they do something wrong. And then somehow, because of God's grace and mercy, they end up in the right place. They say, well, it's okay to do wrong things because, look, I ended up in the right place. You didn't end up in the right place because you did something wrong, but because God is gracious and loving and merciful and He gave us another chance. So that's not what love is. How about this one? If you obey the rules, you miss all the fun. How many of you like rules? Some of you like rules. Some of you that are ordered and structured, probably more like my wife's type A personality, like Tanya's. She likes to have everything ordered and structured. But there's some of us that kind of more like myself. We're a little bit more free spirit. We want to float around and do. Have you heard it say on TV that it really is no fun to keep the rules? It's no fun to follow God? That's also a wrong view of God. How about this one? And I hear this a lot because I'm a pastor and I've been in church for a long, long time since I was a child. People have these feelings, and so then they try to use God to justify their feelings. They say, well, God told me to do it. Yeah, now I'm a married man, right? I'm married. Everybody knows Tanya is my wife. If I were to come to Mary and say, Mary, God told me to marry Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. What would you say? I already have a wife. And you would say, but God told me. I just have this feeling. I was praying and I just felt the goosebumps and I was singing a worship song and God told me to do this. No, that's what the Bible says is taking the Lord's name in vain. In other words, you're using God to follow your feelings. So this lady, she says, God told me to hate you. This is our sarcastic thing. But you can safely assume you've created God in your own image. You've made a God who's not the real God, when it turns out He hates all the same people that you do. Right? So if you say, I hate this person, I hate this person, I hate this person, I hate this person, I don't like them. We've made a God that's not the real God, because the real God is love. So, did God really tell us that? That's what we got to think about. How do we know what real love is? Love, for sure, is not a feeling. If it feels good, do it. No, that's not love. We're going to find out what love is. Is love a word? How many have said, somebody have told you, I love you so much, and then they turn around and say something mean about you? Anybody ever have that happen? Love is not just a word. Just because I say I love you to Tanya, that doesn't mean that I love her, according to the Bible. So is love a word? Love is not a feeling, it's not a word, but love, as we find out what we just read in the Bible, love is patient, love is an action, it's something that we do. And furthermore, it's something that we choose to do, and so we're going to find out from God's Word, what are we going to choose to do today to love God? Love is a choice to benefit somebody else. In other words, make their life better without expecting anything in return. It's like what Jesus did on the cross. It's a sacrifice. So love is not, what can I get out of the other person? Oh, I'm going to love Michael. Hey, could you loan me $100? That's not love, is it? I'm just using Michael for what I can get out of him, right? Because love is a choice to choose to do something that makes Michael's life better. So I say, hey, here, Michael, I have an extra $100. Could you use this? Good thing it's fake money. So Jesus was love in action when he said, I'm going to give my life for you. And did he expect anything in back from us? No. He just died for us. He said, while we were still sinners, while we were still turning away God's anger, he died for us on the cross. So let's look at love in action. The first thing is that love is patient. A patient person bravely keeps loving even when they're facing hard times. And a patient person is very slow to become angry and puts off getting someone back when they offend you. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I had siblings growing up. And sometimes they just looked like they needed to be slapped. They did some things that were annoying to me, and so I just wanted to go and slap them. So if I had love in action, that would mean even though I want to go hit them, I'm not going to do it because love is patient. And here's what we do. We pray for patience, and then we're sitting there waiting, checking our watches. Is it time to go yet? Is it time to go yet? Is it time to go yet? They say, God, hurry up. God says, but you just prayed for patience. So love is patient. It holds back in it when we should want to pay people and we do want to get people back when bad things happen. Patience holds that. Love is patient. How about the second one? Love is kind. And a kind person is mild in their treatment towards others. A kind person does what is useful to others. If I come up to Michael and I say, come here, Michael. I grab him by the ear. Get over here. You did not do this right this morning. They should have been standing over there and not over here. That's not helping Michael, is it? I would say, hey, Michael. He's going to move in the second row now. So if I say, hey, Michael, let me help you this week positioning all the people up on the stage. So that's going to be more helpful to him than if I'm not harsh with him and I'm not mild. That doesn't mean that I'm a wimp just because I'm mild. It means that I have my anger, I have my emotions under control, because love is not a feeling, right? It's a choice to do the right thing. So, I'm going to do what's helpful and beneficial to the other person. See the cute little box head helping his little box friend up the step. How about this one? Love does not envy. An envious person boils with anger because they have something that I really, really want. An envious person pursues something that someone else has in anger. So that word in the Greek is strong. Have you ever seen someone boiling with anger that their face gets red? He's got a popsicle, but hers is bigger. Have you ever wanted what somebody else has because it looks bigger and better? He says, love is not like that. Love doesn't want and boil someone over with anger what the other person has. You might have looked at your friends and said, you know what? They look better than I do. And then you envy and then you boil up with anger and then you get in a fight with them because you're jealous because of how they look. Or let's say they did better at a sport than you or a music competition than you. If they did better than you, he says, love does not envy. It doesn't look at the ice cream that's bigger. It's happy with the ice cream it already has. Love does not boast. Now, have you ever seen a boastful person before? Yeah, I'm pretty good at being up here up front. Don't you think? I look pretty good. Well, I can't even button. Just never mind. I can't button my jacket anymore. Are you laughing at that, Ryan? A boastful person tells little lies to make themselves feel better than they really are. Have you ever done that before? My daddy is a technician that works for NASA Space Center. He's been up in a rocket ship. Have you ever done that before? See, love does not tell little lies to make ourselves look bigger. So look at the little cute little kitty looking in the mirror. He thinks he's a lion, but really he's a little kitty. That's what boasting is. And we know when we boast, we tell little lies. And of course, in the story of Pinocchio, your nose might grow out. Not really, but love does not tell little lies to make ourselves look bigger than we really are. How about this one? Love is not arrogant. Have you ever seen an arrogant person that has an inflated attitude that they're better than everybody else? In the Greek word, it means they're blown up like a balloon full of pride. If you ever get a chance to watch Mr. Bean, watch Mr. Bean. He's the very opposite of what a loving person is. He's the most self-centered, big-headed person, and he does whatever he wants to do and kind of is a little bit funny all the things he gets himself into because he's so selfish. But are you a person that your head is so big because you're just, I'm all that, I'm better than them. I'm not going to go stay with them because I have more knowledge than they do. I know a lot more than they do, so I'm see you later. You're my family, but see you later. That's arrogant. That's pride. So, that's not love. How about love is not rude? Sometimes I get in trouble for this one at home. A rude person does not have manners around other people. Now, anybody have any manners that your mom and dad taught you? What are some manners that you know? Chew with your mouth shut. Thought she... Never jump on the furniture. That's a good one. When you go to someone's house, you don't want them to think that you're a monkey or some kind of animal. Some people don't like... So that's a manner. It says love is not rude. It's not disgusting. It's not gross. See, a rude person unnecessarily offends others by repulsive negative behavior. You know, I think of those some of those people that are, they think that they're doing something for God, but then they're going out and they're saying, do you know that you're going to burn in hell when you die, if you don't have a relationship? That's rude. And no wonder the person's going to turn away and slam the door in their face. So that's unnecessary rudeness. That's not what love is. You know, how about reaching over the dinner table Here's a big one, talking on your cell phone. Now, the adults are all going to get in trouble on this one because it says love is not rude. When you go out to eat with somebody and you're sitting at the table with your family and you're just I don't even know where my phone is. It's just like, yeah, you're all sitting in front of me and I'm preaching, but no matter. That's love being rude. I'm not repeating the specials again until everybody puts their phones down. Love is not rude. This is one way to be an example and be light when we're out in the world, is that we don't behave rudely to those around us. How about love does not insist on its own way? This is a person that spends all their time thinking about what they want. They insist on their own way and they just forget about what other people need. That would be like if I just said, you know, I want to sit down right there. I want to sit down right here. And I'm not thinking about my nephew's needs. Oh no, now he has to sit on the clipboard. Because that's not what love is, insisting on your own way and what you want to do. This is what we look like when we want to get our own way. I want my way now. How many have ever said that before to your parents? You probably don't remember when you were a baby. Oh yeah, it's all about me. It's my way. Look at me. Look at me. That's the very opposite of what love is. Oh, here's a big one that's going to be big for us, especially as Americans right now, because we kind of developed this wimpy culture of, oh, don't look at me the wrong way or I'm going to cry. Love is not irritable. It says a person who is irritable gets angry very quick and they despise other people, and it doesn't take very much to do it. A person who is irritable gets easily offended. They're kind of like, you know, an explosion, a bomb that's ready to go off. And if you just look at them the wrong way, if you touch them the wrong way, that's not being a loving person. That's being irritable. That's being the person that if someone just says one little thing, it sets you off and you're ready to pound them and I'm going to beat them up because they said that about me. That's an irritable person. That's not a loving person. Now, I had a hard time with this message because I had some opportunities to practice it this week where I had to keep saying, love is patient, love is kind. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is patient, love is kind. I'm ready to explode. Love is patient, love is kind. So don't think that if this is stepping on your toes, it's already stepped on my toes a lot. Because love is, here's one, love is not resentful. How about the resentful person keeps record of every single wrong somebody's done to them. And so you know what happens when you keep a tally of all that your sister or brother or somebody bad at school has done to you? You know what happens when you keep that big tally? That eventually that list gets so big that you're always thinking about being, how can I harm this other person? How can I set them straight? How can I get back at them and cause them to explode? Remember last year? When you stole my lunch? You had it coming to you for a long time. That's what a person that keeps record of wrongs does. Yeah. Well, let me tell you a little bit about that kid. Well, I know nothing about him, but I'll make up a story for you, man. He's smiling because he thinks that it's funny what he did to annoy the kid. Have you ever seen bullies like that that laugh when they're just about to? Yeah. So that's why. Okay, here's a big one. How about this one? Love does not have a party or rejoice or laugh when people do things wrong. A person who rejoices about sin or welcomes and says, oh, I just love it look what they did to them. It's not fair, but look what they did to him. It's like when you get the biggest piece and biggest fry, French fry on the plate, and that's the last one, and you got it before your brother or sister, and you're like, ha-ha. Love does not rejoice in doing wrong. You know, it's like when we laugh when people are not doing the right things, instead of showing love, they're being full of anger and fighting, and we're just sitting there laughing, ha, look what they're doing. Or somebody's making fun of somebody at school that maybe kind of walks a little funny or something. I will do weird things like that in the store just for my little nephew, just to embarrass him. But you know, there's people like that that have real issues, real physical issues, or maybe the way they were treated at home. And then what about when other kids make fun of them? What do? If you join in the fun and laugh at them and make fun of them, that's what it's talking about. So that's not being very loving, is it? So here's the opposite. Someone that rejoices with the truth. This is what love is. And this is a person who is happy, and they even congratulate and give a hand to when what is reality or right according to the Bible is happening. They rejoice with the truth, and they have a mind that is free from their feelings. So in other words, I might feel like this is the right thing to do, but God's Word says it's not right, so I'm just going to do the right thing, even though it doesn't feel right at the moment. That's a person that rejoices in the truth. They're happy when somebody does the right thing. Are you happy when somebody does the right thing at school instead of making fun of somebody? That's truth. That's love that rejoices with the truth. So this is reality. It's what's real, right? It's hello. Stop living in our world of puffy purple feelings and elephants in the sky. It's what truth is what is reality. It's what is real. It's God's Word. So God's Word and what God has told us to do in His Word is the foundation of what really love is and how we do it, because it's an action. And John Calvin says, all truth is God's truth. Just because it's not written exactly how we're thinking about it in the Bible, but if it's true, if it's reality, all truth is God's truth. He made truth. He's the source of truth. He's the source of what is right. Now, these last few things, bear with me here. You get it? Bear with me. Bear with me. Blood bears all things. There's some bears all around us if you can walk around the church. A person with bearing love protects others by keeping their secrets. In other words, if somebody shares something with you, or if they have a problem in their life and it might make them look bad if other people find out, you keep that a secret and you try to protect them. A person with bearing love hides the faults of others and keeps others from getting embarrassed. So it's like being a bodyguard to people. Love is being a bodyguard to people. Let's say that we're eating a meal together, and Allie, I have the biggest smudge of meat juice because I've been eating a big steak running down my face. I'm sitting there looking around, and everybody's walking by in the restaurant, and they're kind of smirking. A person that bears in love will say, Allie will go, hey, Mike, you got some right here. You better wipe that off real fast. So she'll save me from getting embarrassed. So that's what love is. It bears all things. You become a bodyguard to protect people from getting embarrassed. It believes all things. In other words, we have trust in others. And can you trust people? Will people let you down? Yeah, they will. But here's the thing. If we're so rooted and secure that God loves us so much, we're going to be able to show that same love to others, even if they let us down. And we'll keep loving them, even when they keep letting us down. We'll keep looking for the best in other people and give other people a chance, because we believe all things. Love believes all things. Every word of God is pure, and He's a shield to them that put their trust in Him. So God will protect us whether other people let us down. So this is the ability to trust others. How about the last thing? Love hopes all things. A person that hopes all things lives a life in joy, knowing that God's going to keep His promises. We don't have to live in sadness You know why? Because when we die, if we have a personal relationship with Jesus, we're going to be with Him. So, you know, if we're kind of the love kind of person that we think we're showing love, but yet we're, it looks like we're sucking on lemons, we're not very happy with life, it's because we're not thinking about what God has for us in heaven. So if we're thinking about what God has for us in heaven, we have a joy. Have you ever been around those people that are joyful and bubbly? I like those kind of people. I'm kind of a more melancholy, low-key person. So I like the people that are alive and bubbly because they're thinking about heaven. And that helps us love people better instead of, well, all right, I wake up this, I love you, Tanya. Well, he's my nephew. I've got to love him. It's more like, we're going to heaven one day. We get to be with Jesus. I love you, man. That's what love is. The last thing is love endures all things. I keep saying the last thing, don't I? How many times have I said the last thing? A person that endures all things does not run when hard times come. Have you ever had friends and they said, I'm your friend, and then something bad happens, or they might even get offended by something that you say or do, and then they're gone. They're out of there. Love keeps loving even though it's hard. Do you think Miss Tanya and I are always googly eyes with each other? Oh yeah, so that's, you're living in a fantasy world. Sometimes we disagree with each other. Does that mean I'm going to say, oh, I'm not, forget that, I'm going to go find another wife. We're not getting along. That's what the world tells us to do. But true love keeps loving and sticks with the family, with those that are their family, no matter what. They remain brave and calm even when they're receiving bad treatment from others. That's a great part of love. Jesus gives me peace even when I'm in the midst of the storm. When it feels like people aren't loving me, I can still love them because I have peace of the Lord. And love never ends. If it's real love, if it's a feeling, it's going to stop, right? If it's a word, that person may not keep their word. But if it's an action, it keeps going and going and going, like God's love is an everlasting circle. So here's the last thing for us to think about today. Love. The Bible just gave us a recipe of what love in action looks like. It's not a feeling. It's a choice to benefit other people. It's an action. It's a commitment. Saying, I'm choosing to love you even though you may have cornflakes on your face some days. You may wake up and you've had slobber down the side of your face in the morning and your hair's going the other direction. I'm still going to love you. Love endures forever. Some of you are laughing because your spouses woke up this morning with drool, a drool hairdo. Do I stop loving people just because they aren't what we always thought that they were? No. We stick it out. That's the definition of real love. And any other definition is a definition of the world. And let me tell you, as you are raised in the church, you guys are young now, but it's getting worse and worse and worse in the teachings of the church in America, where love is just a feeling. It's just, oh, I'm just here to feel good for the moment. And if I just don't feel right, I'm just going to come up. God told me to come do this now. Oh, God told me to come do this over here now. People that are rooted and grounded in God's true love stick to His Word. They're solid because love lasts forever. So if you stick to this and let this define what love is, you're going to go on and be strong in your faith with Jesus, and you won't blow with every little wind that comes your way. And you won't get offended by every little thing people do or say to you. You will stay strong and secure in God's Word. Is that good? That's God's good Word today for us. So, what are we going to do? What is love? Now, if I ask you what love is, what are you going to say? What is it? It's an action. It's a feeling, right? No, what is it? Action. It's a choice. It's a commitment. to do what God's called us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day. And Lord, we just want to pray for the children's camp that's coming up this week. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us, from old to young, would be filled with your love for other people. God, I pray that you would move aside anything that I said that is not accurate according to your word. And Lord, I pray, I welcome your Spirit to come and change some of the things in me that need to line up with this whole love action thing. Forgive me, God, for basing my love on a feeling, basing my love on my selfish desires, basing my love on what I want and not what other people want, not what other people need. God, give us a compassion like you did, to sacrificially love even though people may never love us back. Lord, help us to show this world and show the church in America what love truly is all about. Lord, I pray that you'd help each child, each young person, each teenager to live a life of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, are you all ready for the Arctic explosion this week? All right.